Dear ones, before we open the Word of God, let's bow our heads together in prayer. Lord, we thank Thee for this moment, for this day that Thou hast given unto us. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy Word that is before us. We thank Thee for this fellowship. And Lord, as we open Thy Word, we pray for a blessing from on high upon the reading, upon the meditation. May our hearts be open unto Thee, O Lord. Teach us Thy ways, O Lord, and above all, O Lord, teach us to love Thee. And in that perfect love for Thee, O Lord, we will know Thee. And in knowing Thee, O Lord, we will serve Thee, and we will have for us, O Lord, that eternity which has been promised to those who love Thee. So bless us, O Lord, as we learn of Thee in this day. Bless our fellowship. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this for this morning's meditation, for our reading and strengthening in faith, I desire to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. I'd like to begin with verse 31 and through chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, beginning with 31 through chapter 14. Evangelium da se pročita sa Božom pomoći od Evanđelja po Jovanu, 13. glava, da počnemo od 31. broj i da se pročita i 14. glava. Evanđelje po Jovanu, 13. od 31. broj do kraja 14. glave. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down my life for thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, the clock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. May God. Chapter 14 and the opening verses are verses that have given, I believe, a great comfort to many who have buried their loved ones. And even as this very moment, as was mentioned in the prayer, there are those who have lost their loved ones. We know that that this word can give comfort to those. But as we ponder upon this chapter that was read, we go back to we have to set the backdrop for this. This is Jesus after he says, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world and go unto the Father. He says, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. And he gathered them together in the upper room to share the feast of the Passover with them, the Last Supper with his disciples who had called some some years earlier, who had followed him, who had seen miracle after miracle that he had performed, the love that he had displayed to those who hated him, and the display of love that was going to be shown in the next day is something that our finite minds cannot even fully understand and comprehend, that Jesus, God in the flesh, was going to took on man, flesh, and would die for the sins of the world, for those who hated him. And as he gathered his disciples together, we see an example of his service that he lays out, and as he washes his disciples' feet. And then it also tells us that one of you is going to betray me. And they want to know who it is. And he tells them, the one who I will dip the sop and give to. And he gives it to Judas. And even though Peter asked John, ask him who it is, he said it, but somehow it didn't alarm the disciples that it's Judas who had received this sop. And then he tells Judas, that what you're going to do, go do quickly, because it says at that moment that Satan entered into Judas. And it tells us that Judas then went out, and it was night. The darkness is where Judas could comfortably be. He couldn't be with knowing what he had in his heart, that he was going to betray his master, the one who had followed and witnessed the goodness of him. He was going to betray him. He had to flee from that blinding light and go into the darkness. And that's where we pick up our reading, where Jesus now lays out commandments. And if we look at this, if we look at if repetition means anything, then let's consider, I didn't count it, but as we were just reading it, I think it came up at least 5 or 6 times where Jesus is speaking of a commandment of love. A commandment of a love for one another, a commandment of a love for him. And as he repeats himself throughout these words that we have read, we have to ponder upon those truths and what Jesus is sharing with his disciples then and with us today. And so, as Jesus is speaking, it tells us that Peter, we read first in the 13th chapter, then Thomas, then Philip, and then Judas all ask him a question, and Jesus gives a response to each question. And it's a broad response. It's filled with insight into what they are asking him. They know that Jesus, he's shared with them, he told them he's going to die. They have not fully comprehended. I believe Peter still thought that Jesus was going to, in some way, go to death, but be able to avoid it through the power that he had displayed in raising others from the dead and the very miracles that he had done and so on. And so Peter asks a question, Lord, when Jesus tells them, first he says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. You know, we are asked to glorify God. How? How are we as the dust, as we're described, how do we glorify God? Well, he lays it all out right here. He lays it all out perfectly for us to see exactly how we can glorify the name of God. You know, I can come to church, and I can sing, and I can sing a melodious song that is perfect and not glorify him at all. To glorify God is to know him and love him. And from that love for him, we glorify him because we love him. And all of his law is beautiful unto us, and we obey it, not because we have to, but because we love him. And so the Lord lays out the law of love, a law of love that transcends, that the Bible says many waters cannot quench, death itself cannot subdue, it cannot overcome it. It is a love that goes on and on for eternity, forever. And that's why we read and we know, as the Bible describes, God is love. And if we love him, we will glorify him. He cannot be glorified. Solomon, when he built the temple, that magnificent temple, and he had that marvelous prayer at the dedication of the temple, he said, Lord, the heavens and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you, let alone this house that was built by hand. Isaiah, I think if I can find real quick here, it opened actually right to it here, in verse 15 of chapter 57, he said, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." I dwell in the high and holy place. It says he inhabits eternity. Jesus says, in my Father's house. What is that house? There are many mansions. Isaiah writes that he inhabits eternity. His name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place. And with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. He cannot live in the heart of one who has any inkling of pride within him. He cannot be there. He says, one who is of a humble and a contrite spirit. To revive the heart of the contrite ones. And here in these chapter, in this chapter, in this reading, we read of Jesus telling us, I will come and dwell in you. Who? God. The one who inhabits eternity. The heavens cannot contain him. How does our heart contain him? Only when it is born again and made new. Then Jesus says, I will come. And so Peter is saying, I'm going to go to that same place that you're going to go. You're saying, I'm going to go. Well, I'm going to follow you. I will lay down my life for you. And I know that he made a very honest, determined proclamation. He didn't just say that. He meant it. Just like we read, was it last week, when he asked Jesus, bid me to come and walk on the water. Bid me to come to you. He meant it. And Jesus knew what he meant. And he called him. Here, Jesus understands Peter. He knows his heart. He knows he wants to, but he knows he is not indwelt with the power from on high yet. And he tells him, whither I go, you cannot come now, but you will come. You will come, but not now. And Peter says, oh, I'm gonna die for you. He says, will you? The cock's going to crow three times before, and you'll have denied me three times by then. And then he goes in and says, and he describes, in my Father's, don't let your heart be troubled. Who's he saying this? He's saying this to his disciples then. He's going to leave. This is unfathomable to their minds. This is Jesus who they love, who they worship, who they serve. He is going to leave. And he said, don't let your heart be troubled. And he says, believe in God, believe also in me. This is an imperative. He is saying, believe in God, believe in me. And he says, in that belief, I'm going to tell you that in my Father's house, what is his Father's house? That's his dwelling place. You and I don't understand it. But it's the dwelling place of God who inhabits eternity. It is his dwelling place. That is the Father's house. And he says, in the dwelling place of my Father, he goes, there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. This is a place of abiding. He says, I'm going to give you a place to abide in the place that my Father dwells in. And he says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Is there a better place to be than that? There's sadness that overwhelms us when a loved one is taken from this earth. It's a sorrow for ourselves, for us. We will miss someone. We miss them dearly. We've loved them. We've enjoyed being in their company. We've enjoyed being together, worshiping the Lord, helping one another, uplifting one another, and suddenly they're gone. And it hurts. It hurts. But there's a comfort. Because that one that has departed in the Lord, there's no better place for him to be. Or that soul to be. He's in the abiding place of the Heavenly Father and his dwelling place. And so he tells him, whither I go ye now, Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. He's telling them, you know this way. Why? Well, Thomas now asks him a question. He says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, Jesus answers him, and he says, I am the way. Look at me, Thomas. I'm the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And there is no man that comes unto the Father but by me. And so he tells him, and he proceeds and he says, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So he's telling him, look at me, Thomas. I am the way. The place is this abiding or this dwelling place of my Father. That's the place. And the way is me. Look at me. I am that way. And so the way is to follow Jesus, the only way. All other religions that proclaim a way to God outside of Jesus Christ is a lie of the devil. And so he says here, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, he tells Thomas. And he says, and you do know him, because you know me. And Philip is confused. He says, Lord, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And you know, we have to consider what Philip is asking here. Because too often in our worship, in our seeking, in our prayers, in our thoughts, we put Jesus aside. And we want God the Father. We minimize who Jesus is by wanting God the Father. And Jesus is saying, and he answers Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? I've been with you 3.5 years, and you don't know me? He says, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? What more, Philip, do you want to see than what I have given and shown? The life, the way. I am the way, the life that I have lived, the way that I have shown to you. What do you not understand? What more do you want than that? Am I not sufficient for you? Because I came to reveal the Father to you. So when you looked at me, you've seen the Father. Jesus could never utter those words if he wasn't God. He couldn't say those things because it would be blasphemous. But he tells Philip, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. That which you have seen me, believe it because of that. And so, dear ones, it almost appears here to reading Philip's question is that Philip was not satisfied with the Lord. And you know, as we go through our life, I think oftentimes we find ourselves also not content with who God is, with who he has revealed himself through Jesus Christ. He revealed himself through Jesus. When does that not become enough for me? When do I search more than what he has revealed and given and shown us? And so, last night before dinner, a brother led us in prayer, and he mentioned there's a common bond that we've all gathered together around. And that bond is Jesus Christ. And I thought about that. Every one of us who are here right now, we probably would not have known each other at all, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. We came together around that common bond, Jesus Christ. He brought us together. And we have a love for one another and a care for one another through the love of Jesus. And now, as we worship him together, as we come together, we serve him, and we are to uplift one another and to serve one another. But again, the one common bond that brings us together is Jesus Christ. And so if that brings us together, what is it that can drive us apart when he is not enough for me? When I want something more. And that's the battle with the flesh. And dear ones, as we speak of Jesus, as we speak to a soul who does not know the Lord yet, the only thing that you and I can speak of is Jesus. How are you going to describe the Father unless you describe Jesus? How are you going to describe anything of the way unless you look at Jesus? He is the way. You know, in this life, wealth will buy a way to many things, probably everything. Probably everything. Wealth and power can take you and give you everything your heart desires. But it's one thing that will not buy you, and that is this dwelling place, this abiding place in the Father's mansion. It cannot give you that, because there's no way through that. It's the narrow way of Jesus Christ. He is the only way. And so he says here, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And this is really hard to grasp until we really take it into context of what he is really saying. He says, I say unto you, verily, verily, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, the works that Jesus is doing, he says, ye shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Greater? And what greater work can any of us do than what Jesus has done? You know, Jesus made the blind man see. And what Jesus, I believe, is speaking here is when we point someone who is blind in sin, who cannot see afar off, when we point to Jesus and open up his eyes to see Jesus and who he is, and Jesus who did these miracles and healed those who had leprosy and made them clean, that when we just point someone to Christ and show Christ, how? Through the love that we have one for another, the love that we have for God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when we love him, and when we show someone and they are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ because we pointed them to Christ himself, those are greater works. Not that we did them, but through our love of Christ, we can bring those who are lost to salvation, to be redeemed. And so Jesus, who raised those up from the dead, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We give life to others through Jesus by pointing them to Christ. It's far greater to save a soul from damnation, from hell, than to make a blind man see. Jesus says, these works that I did, you're going to do an even greater. Not by yourself, though. No, no, no. He says, you can't do that. He says, here, He says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. How is the Father going to be glorified? He said, the things that you ask, I will do them. And he says, if you ask in my name, okay, what do we ask? What do you pray for? Imagine this. Lord, give me a mansion. Give me a Rolls Royce. Give me a Rolex in Jesus' name. Can you utter those words? You can't. You can't bring those words out of your lips. If you do, you're lost. You're completely lost. He says the things you ask in my, those things you can say in my name, as you observe my life, who is the way, the truth, and the life. When you observe me and you love me, and when you ask for anything in my name, when you can say, in Jesus' name, I pray this, he says, I will supply that. And so he says, here he talks now, and he brings the coming of the Holy Spirit. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I pray, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Spirit that he will give is a Spirit of truth. He says, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Philip saw him. Philip will receive him. But he says, the world cannot see him. Why? Because they're blinded. By what? By sin. And so, one who is blind in sin cannot receive him. He says he doesn't know him. And he says, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The day of Pentecost is coming in 50 days. Well, Jesus will die here the next day. And so after that, in 50 days, 10 days after his ascension, the Spirit of God comes as a mighty rushing wind. It wasn't a blowing wind that blew everything apart. It was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And this is the promise that he gives here. And he says in verse 26, he says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. This is miraculous. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. All the words that are being spoken here came to remembrance to John by the Holy Spirit. And he said, write this down. Write it down, John. Leave it for you and for me. Leave it written for the next generation. And as long as I will tarry, let this word remain. Write it down, and it will be dispersed. And this is where the Lord, it's the most humbling thing that we could ever consider. The Lord is asking of you and me, spread the word. Spread the word of Jesus Christ. Don't do it by your own understanding. Don't do it by ways that you think are better than the ways that I have laid out. Preach Jesus as the only way. Show the life of Jesus as your life. Why? Because he says here, I will give you a comforter, one who is alongside of you, one who walks with you, who literally takes over you and leads you. And so therein, my dear friends, too often you try, as I tried, as probably every one of us here have tried, I'm going to be better tomorrow. Wrong. You can't be better tomorrow. Serving God, but if I just keep the commandments of God without glorifying him in my love for him, I'm just, all I'm doing is exemplifying or showing my strong will to do this or do that. That's all it is. There's no comfort in that. There's no salvation in that. But as James says, you cannot separate this. The love of God gives you the zeal, the want, the strength, and the power to do and love his commandments. Love his commandments. You know, I had a conversation with a brother this past week, and we talked about loving God. And a true test is, do I hate evil? Do I hate evil? Because Jesus' words are, you will love one and hate the other. That's it. Do I hate that which God hates? Do I want to push the envelope by my possessions? Yes, I'm meek. I'm going to come to church all pretentious. But when I walk out these doors, gimme, gimme, gimme. Everything, pour it on me. Where's my love? Jesus said, you will love one and hate the other. You cannot serve two masters. Jesus said that. The heart of man says, yes, I can. Watch me. Watch me. Give me that money. Give me that power. Give me that wealth. And I'm going to distribute 10%. I'm going to do my duty. What a lie we say to ourselves. What a lie. We don't love him. And the keeping of his commandments means nothing to us. The only thing it means is it gives me a comfort zone. I'm going to call on Christ and I'm going to call on my money. And it doesn't even have to be money. It can be anything that is in your life, my dear brother and dear sister, and my dear friend, that is keeping me from keeping his commandments. It could be lustful thoughts. It could be because we read in Philippians, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. He says, this is Apostle Paul saying, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And then he goes on and says, those things which ye have both learned, received, heard, and seen in me, do them. And the God of peace shall be with you. The brother prayed of the peace that indwells the heart when God is with us. And God is with us, he says here, he lays out the coming of the Holy Spirit and whose heart he will dwell in. He says, he cannot dwell in those who do not know him. He cannot dwell in them. Just as we read, was it last Sunday, of the new wine cannot go into the old wineskins. They will burst. There's no elasticity to it. It will burst. It cannot contain it. It cannot. So also the Holy Spirit of God cannot dwell into heart that has not been cleansed by his precious and atoning blood. And so he says here, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. This is a promise. This is a promise. This is where death is defeated. Because I live, you will live also. Brothers and sisters, my dear friends, there is no fear of death to a born-again believer who loves the Lord. And that love of the Lord is evident in the life that I live. There's no fear of death. Death is welcomed. Paul longed to die. He wanted to. Why? Because it was so real. The invisible things were so real to him. He saw Jesus. Brothers and sisters, do we see Jesus? Is he real to us? He tells Philip, "You have seen me." And do you know that with eyes of faith, we see him too? Are our eyes fixed upon him to even recognize him? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so, is that attractive to me? A life of meekness, gentleness? Is that attractive? Why am I so whipping my head around to look at something that is extraordinary in this temporal life? And the meekness of Jesus, would I have looked twice at him if I had walked the streets of Jerusalem with Jesus? Would he have been attractive to me? You can answer that by what is attractive to you today. Whatever attracts you today, if it's not Jesus and him alone, I will dispel everything else that is darkness. I will get rid of those things because I love him and I hate those things. Are we constantly tempted and going and sinning and sinning and sinning? Well, it's because we love that. It's not because we have no power. Well, the power is not there because Jesus says, I cannot dwell in a heart that doesn't know me. We become like the animal kingdom, where we are just programmed to do a certain thing. That's not what Jesus does. He says, you love me, and the power that I give you, the Holy Spirit, he will lead you into all truth. In other words, he's going to point you to me, because I am truth. And you will love me, and in that love for me, you will hate evil. You will hate the thought of hurting your brother or sister with gossip. You will hate that thought. You will hate the thought of showing yourself as more wealthy than your poor brother or sister. You will hate the thought of not helping someone who needs help. You will hate the thought, what, for me? No. God gave to me. And I need to use this wisely. You don't have to think about it. You do it because you love him. If you sit there and count, and okay, 10%, you failed miserably. That's not the way of Jesus. Don't comfort yourself in, I have given this. You've given nothing. Give your heart and let your heart direct you into all truth, because he says here that he will direct you into all truth. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Brothers and sisters and dear friends, Jesus says, I will manifest myself to him. I will show you who I am. Wow. The God of heaven, who inhabits eternity, says, I will show you who I am. And when he shows himself to us, dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, you will love him. But he won't show himself to you if you love your sin. He can't. What's he going to show you? What do we like to do? Do we like to just open our heart to Jesus? Just let a little bit of light come into my heart, so I can feel that I have light. I have light. Look, I love him. Who's going to say I don't love him? We're all going to say we love him. We're going to let Jesus into our hearts a little bit, shine a little bit of light in me. But don't go into those dark recesses of my heart to drive out my lusts, my passions that I have for pride and wealth and whatever it might be. Don't go into there. Just be happy with what I'm telling you, that I love you. And look, I worship you. I come every Sunday. I dress the part. I act the part. Never mind the 6 days. Lord, you know I love you. Is that how we live our life? And so he says here, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Are we afraid? Are we troubled? Jesus says, don't. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Love me. And I want to just share with you, our dear friends, the only way to the Lord is through love. Love of Him. When you love Him, you will hate your sin. Don't try to do away with your sin without loving Him. Love Him and allow His love and His Spirit, who will come to you and walk alongside you and guide you into all truths. He's going to point you to Him. And those are the things, dear brothers and dear sisters, that we are to do as His children, to guide others to Jesus. And you're not going to do it through hatred, through manifesting or showing yourself as something great, through the wealth of the world. You can do it through service, through meekness. That Jesus says, I am that way. And so, dear, let us all look upon Jesus. Let's look upon Him. And He says He wants to dwell in a heart that is contrite and humble. When we love Him, we will be humbled. We will be. But we have to love Him. So let's pray. Let's pray that our love for Jesus would grow anew each day. May God bless His word in this day. Amen.